Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, check this out. Donald Trump is currently lashing out on the global stage in Evian, France, because it's not just Democrats who are highly skeptical of this deal with Iran. Even Republicans in the media and in Congress are pushing back because we're 110 days into a war that was supposed to last 4 to 6 weeks, and Donald Trump now is ready to give up and just resign. Listen, I want peace, but the fact that this administration hasn't released a single even minute detail about this memorandum of understanding should leave all of us highly skeptical, and it has. Donald Trump is acting incredibly dodgy and snappy and petty, as always, during this G7 meeting in Evian, France. I want to start off with this clip where he just begins to rage at our supposed ally of Israel because they are dog-walking him. Trump has given $3.8 billion raw to Israel and tens of billions of dollars in weapon sales since he got into office the second term. And now, right when Donald Trump was on the precipice of maybe toning down the behavior in the Middle East, Israel continues to fire and strike Lebanon and completely make Donald Trump look like a fool. So now he is raging at the G7 while J.D. Vance is doing a media circuit, putting his foot in his mouth on Fox News, on CBS. He's going from station to station trying to run defense for a deal that we don't actually have any details of. Later on in this video, I'll show you Donald Trump get very dodgy when he's directly asked when the deal's coming out or what the details of the deal are. So we're going to go through all of this in a steady-handed, clear-to-understand manner. If you do appreciate these videos and want to help boost it so that other people can see these facts, make sure you drop a like. Make sure you subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed. Tomorrow, we have a debate episode coming out. We're starting a weekly show where I debate topics like Iran, topics like tariffs, topics like Trump's election denial, January 6th, all of these topics, ICE, the economy, can be wrapped up in a debate, and it'll be amazing. So subscribe for that below. Let's start off with this clip of Donald Trump raging at our supposed ally of Israel, because right now Israel is continuing to escalate in the region.
Are you frustrated with Netanyahu, sir?
No. We have a great relationship. We're talking about some end details. I didn't like that he did an attack based on a, you know, there's a very minor little thing with some drones that were released, and he ends up doing a very, I saw that attack. I saw where that bomb went. Did you see what happened? That was too much. You know, you can do too much also. But we've had a very effective relationship. Without us, without the United States, there would be no Israel. Without me, there would be no Israel, because no other president was willing to do what I did. I've had a great relationship with Bibi, but now Bibi has to be more responsible with respect to Lebanon. Lebanon used to be a great country. It was a country where you had professors, doctors, lawyers. The great intellect was in Lebanon. Now it's just, it's terrible.
I saw some people trying to praise Trump, saying, yes, he's taking a stand. No, Donald Trump is getting dog-walked on a leash by somebody he sent tens of billions of dollars to, and this is the only wording he can muster up. If Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel F up any sort of peace deal that the United States is about to make, then we should pull aid away from them. We should pull all funding away from them. This unconditional relationship that we have shouldn't really exist with any country, in my opinion. I think there's criteria that you can apply to a country. Like, how about, are they the good guys? And will funding them change the outcome of the war? Let's use that with Ukraine for a second. Russia invades Ukraine. Who are the good guys? Ukraine. Will us helping Ukraine change the outcome of the war meaningfully? Yeah, of course. Now let's apply that to Israel. Are Israel the good guys? Not at this point, no. between the West Bank settlements and what they've done in Gaza? Absolutely not. Will us giving them billions of dollars change the outcome of this? No, it actually doesn't change anything. We just unconditionally dump money into them, and then they mess up our peace deal and our ceasefire and our supposed memorandum of understanding that nobody can quite understand whatsoever. I want to play this clip of J.D. Vance accidentally owning the hell out of himself. What he lets slip in this clip is that the Arabs hated the Obama deal, but love the deal that Donald Trump and VP Vance have cooked up. Just think about this. If the person you're negotiating with, your enemy in a situation, loves the deal that you're coming with and is excited to do it, then that means it's probably a great deal for them. If they hated President Obama's deal, that means that President Obama's deal was probably pretty fair, somewhere in the middle, or negative for them. I mean, the point of a negotiation is that both sides have to make painful concessions.
Obama took a shot and said, I don't think this deal is any better than the deal we had before. The JCPOA was dramatically different than what you were describing here tonight.
And I'd ask the president, the former president, I'd say, Obama, why in the world, if it's the same thing, why is it that the Gulf Arabs hated your deal and they love our deal? They are the ones who are in the region. They know what it means to enrich the worst terrorist regime in the world. And they also know what it means to turn over a new leaf and to go to a different future. So I think President Obama, he should acknowledge that the people who are closest to this, they love the Trump deal. They hate the Obama deal. And that's maybe the biggest endorsement of this.
At first, I wondered if he messed up his wording. But then I realized he's actually this dumb. If the person you're negotiating with loves the deal you bring to them, it's probably a very, very weak deal, J.D. Vance. In this sentence, he is admitting that Obama's deal was less favorable to them. Even people like Lindsey Graham are very skeptical of any sort of deal. It's not even a deal. Can I be clear here? It is a memorandum of understanding that they may or may not have signed because we haven't seen the details. And this memorandum of understanding would then lead to a 60-day period where we can maybe negotiate an actual ceasefire so that we can negotiate an actual peace deal. Like, the Iranians are just stringing Donald Trump along, and it's so incredibly obvious. Trump started a stupid war after he thought he got an easy win in Venezuela. Then he got bored of the Iranian war when he realized he couldn't just force the Iranians to give up. The Iranians have been outlasting the United States and proving that they can absorb more pain. The question is, who can absorb more pain in the long term? Iran or the U.S. economy, the global economy, and it seems like Iran. So now Donald Trump is either not taking a deal or taking an incredibly shitty deal because Trump doesn't actually care about our national interest. He cares about not getting crushed in the midterm. So we're now worse off than we were before. Iran's proxies are still intact. Their missile program is being rapidly rebuilt. They can just bounce back to where they were with a few months, and the United States can't just go back in because it would be absolutely catastrophic for Trump's politics. Lindsey Graham here says, I am pleased to hear the memorandum of understanding with Iran to allow the strait has been agreed to. I will be watching closely the ensuing negotiations regarding Iran's nuclear program. I am somewhat concerned that Iran's view of the agreement seems different than what the American negotiating team is claiming. Under our law, any nuclear deal with Iran will be sent to Congress for review and a vote. I look forward to reviewing the final product, and I believe it is imperative that the architect of this deal, Vice President Vance, and his negotiating partners be part of the process in presenting the final deal to Congress. It feels like there's a concerted effort to say that J.D. Vance and his team are the ones who are the architects of this deal, even though Trump is the one constantly talking about it. Congratulations to all in getting us to this point. Time will tell. So he's trying to preemptively throw Vance under the bus. Here's Ben Shapiro, right winger in the Daily Wire. He says, here's the amazing thing about written agreements. They are comprised of words we can all read and then form opinions about. It's really neat. So release the memorandum of understanding text. Now, don't keep it secret and then complain that people aren't trusting your version of events. He's even skeptical as well. And he tweeted this out like a day and a half ago, and we still haven't seen any of the text. Here's Trump getting asked when the text will be released.
Text of the document. Why not release the title?
Oh, I will.
Why not release it?
Well, because I'd like to get a formal setting first before we do that. But I have no problem with that. It's a good document. Here's what it says. Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. That's what it says. It won't have one. To buy, to develop, they will not have a nuclear weapon.
How are the Iranians saying the exact opposite of the deal?
And I would say that's about 99.9% of what I wanted. because we couldn't let that happen. You couldn't let that happen. And they won't have a nuclear weapon. Now, in addition to that, the strait is going to be open toll-free. And it's toll-free beyond the 60 days. It's not, somebody said, oh, it's toll-free for 60. No, no. It's toll-free.
The Iranians contest this, and the Iranians still haven't allowed free passage through the strait. I mean, none of this is happening. Donald Trump has multiple times announced that the strait is open for business, and then it's not. I don't believe it, and you shouldn't believe it either when even Ben Shapiro says, don't keep it secret and then complain that people aren't trusting your version of events. He's calling out the Trump admin.
Period. When it opens permanently, it'll be toll-free. I want to congratulate our Navy because the naval blockade was unbelievable. But I'll not only release it, I'll probably have a press conference and read it to you word by word.
Sir, the Navy did very, very well in the naval blockade. It's always impressive what the military can do, but you have to understand the entire mission was like something out of Idiocracy. Let me just paint the picture. We had a deal with the Iranians in 2016 and Trump tore it up. He couldn't get a deal for like a decade. So then in 2026, they got frustrated and bombed the Iranians because Netanyahu convinced them to. The Iranians then closed down the Strait of Hormuz. So Trump started a new project called Project Freedom to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. So the original deal that Obama had that was, you know, not perfect, but it was rather good, got downgraded to nothing. Then that got downgraded to bombing. Then that got downgraded to a new mission to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. We're just like negotiating with ourselves at this point. Here's J.D. Vance going viral because he can't really answer questions about this deal. Trump is the only one that's kind of just saying and throwing out a bunch of BS. J.D. Vance is being a bit more careful because they're trying to pin it on his negotiation team. Again, we are much worse off than we were before the war. Iran has more control over the Strait of Hormuz than they ever have had before, and the U.S. has been humiliated. Our weapons stockpiles have been depleted. The global economy has been given a slap in the face by oil-driven inflation because of us, and Iran has accomplished all of its core objectives. Survive. The U.S. has accomplished none of our core objectives at all.
Let's talk about any place, anywhere, anytime, U.S. inspectors. Part of the deal?
Yeah, that's absolutely something that we are negotiating over, Sean. That's one of the final details that's going to be figured out here. Is if you go back to the original Obama JCPOA, there were a couple of big problems with it. Number one, by the way, is that the Gulf Arabs hated the Obama deal. Why? Because they thought that it empowered the Iranians to be a malign actor. It actually enriched the Iranians while they were misbehaving. This deal, the Gulf Arabs love, because they know that this is the kind of deal that can fundamentally transform the Middle East. Another problem with that deal is that the inspections regime was effectively non-existent. There was a little bit there, but it was basically non-existent. This goes back to our fundamental principle here, that if they show verifiable commitment, and that means a real inspections regime, then they can get the benefits of the bargain.
The guy seems dodgy. The guy seems like he can barely even directly answer this question at first. Listen.
Yeah, that's absolutely something that we are negotiating.
Before the memorandum of understanding and before we actually move on to the next phase. Like, this guy has no concrete answers whatsoever. Here's Trump getting asked about Republicans like Lindsey Graham who are skeptical of the memorandum. I showed you Lindsey Graham's tweet one moment ago. He's clearly skeptical of the deal, even if he's trying to hide it in praise of Donald Trump. And then Trump says he'll be in big trouble. That shows why Lindsey Graham was kind of tiptoeing.
What do you say to Republicans like Senator Lindsey Graham, who is skeptical of the MOU?
Lindsey is skeptical?
Yes.
I'll have to talk to Lindsey. He'll be in big trouble. Lindsey's good. Lindsey's fine. He's not skeptical. He's just fine. Look, this agreement covers something very nicely. We're not paying for anything. We're not doing anything. The markets now are higher than they were when we started. Remember that. The stock market now is 2,500, maybe even more than that, points higher than it was when we said. It's pretty amazing.
Absolute insanity. This is the reason why Lindsey Graham didn't even call out. Does he even mention Trump in this tweet? No. And then Trump says he'll be in big trouble. Here is Donald Trump criticizing Netanyahu even more. Again, Netanyahu is desperately trying to decouple his strikes on Iran with the United States try to get a deal with Iran. But Iran's not letting that happen, and Trump is getting pissed.
Too much.
Mr. President, what are the expectations for Israel? Can this deal survive if Israel attacks Lebanon?
It can, and, you know, I consider that the minor war. Iran's a big one, but we have that little pinprick out there that constantly rears its head, and that's Hezbollah. And, you know, I was very responsible for Syria, and the man that's running Syria now is a person that I put there along with President Erdogan and some others. He's done an amazing job of pulling it together. He's not a Boy Scout, but he's done an amazing job of pulling it together. And he is very good with Hezbollah, does not like them. And I'll tell you what, Israel's fighting Hezbollah too long, and too many people are being killed. And you don't have to knock down an apartment house every time you're looking for somebody, because there are a lot of people in those apartment houses, and they're not all Hezbollah, that I can tell you. And I suggested to Israel to let Syria take care of Hezbollah.
Okay. He's going back to dumb ideas, but for a second, he was actually saying that Israel needs to stop committing war crimes. But then watch, in the next clip, he basically threatens war crimes, just like he threatened a few months ago to end their civilization. So none of it's coherent. What Donald Trump is trying to do is achieve his end, which is to like find an off-ramp and bail from this failing war. So he's acting like Israel is the one that is continuing to, you know, mess everything up. It's both of them.
But he's done an amazing job of pulling it together. And he is very good with Hezbollah, does not like them. And I'll tell you what, Israel's fighting Hezbollah too long, and too many people are being killed. And you don't have to knock down an apartment house every time you're looking for somebody, because there are a lot of people in those apartment houses, and they're not all Hezbollah, that I can tell you.
So he got intelligence that Israel has been essentially committing war crimes and killing a bunch of civilians, and that's why he's saying that. Trump then begins to back away from the idea that they're going to get Iran's enriched material. He says, you can make the case, why even bother? It's not very valuable stuff. This is the exact type of thing he does when he wants to back off of something. He goes, oh, I don't even want this trade anyways. No one even needs it.
So the Atomic Energy just reported that it was one of the most devastating bombings that they've ever seen. The whole mountain collapsed on top of it. And frankly, to go get it, we're going to go get it. But to go get it is a big deal, because they say only China and us have the equipment where you can even get. The whole mountain has collapsed on top. We have cameras on it. You could make the case, why are you even bothering? Because it's not really valuable. It's, you know, it's probably $500,000 worth.
I could see where this is going. He's just going to say, why even bother? Let's leave it there and we can perpetually watch them. It's the same type of oversight we saw in the JCPOA. The Iranians are likely then going to try to retrieve it because they know that if the United States begins to escalate attacks again, it's very politically unpopular and it makes Trump look very weak. Here is Donald Trump in this clip just ranting and raving, sounding very old.
I want to mention Iran. We appreciate the relationship we've had over the short period of time with Iran. And the primary thing, it's, you know, we can talk about the Iran deal all day long. We're not investing any money. We have the right to if we want, but we're not investing any money. We didn't pay for it like Obama did. He paid billions of dollars. He paid $1.7 billion from an airplane, all green cash. It was crazy. I watched that. I couldn't believe it.
The reports are that Iran is going to get a $300 billion restitution fund and $24 billion unfrozen by the United States. That's like 1,000 times more than whatever Obama unfroze for the Iranians. This talking point doesn't work anymore. He then threatens to essentially nuke Iran. He says the ultimate consequences will be faced.
Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. And it says it loud and clear. They're not going to develop it. They're not going to buy it. They're not going to do anything with it. And if they do, they suffer unbelievable consequences. Not just a little bit, like, I won't even tell you the consequences, but the consequences are the ultimate consequences. And with that being said, I hope we have a very good relationship.
Jesus Christ, I'm going to leave it there. We have an unhinged madman who can't represent us on the global stage. If you appreciate these videos and you're ready for more debates, more content, more news, let me know in the comment section. Drop a like. Mockler Media is all in this together. I love you all. Peace out.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.